Page number 305. Page 305.
Just a tad, but maybe it did wash some of that old pollen out of the air. Supposed to be 60 something this evening, 71 again tomorrow, and so spring is upon us. We always usually have a little bit of cold snap, and I guess we're getting it now. Glad you're here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're just really happy that you're here. Please join in with us as we worship and serve God to the best of our ability. We have a few announcements this morning, and then we'll do our prayer request. First of all, this afternoon at 2 o'clock is the ordination service for Brother Tyler Bray at Rayburn Creek. It starts at 2 o'clock if you want to go to that. I'm going to try to go. Brother Derwin Harris is going to, I think I'm going to ride with him. He don't trust my driving, so that's fine with me. So if you can, go over there and support them, be a part of that. I know it would be greatly appreciated. All right, next Sunday morning is Easter. And so we've got a whole different lineup in the way that we're going to have our services. So please pay attention for just a second. First of all, excuse me, there is a sign-up sheet back there on the back for our breakfast, and you'll understand that in just a second. But if you're going to plan on coming to have breakfast, would you sign up so we'll know how many eggs to get and whatnot? Okay, so next Sunday morning, April 21st, Easter sunrise service at Sam and Donna Johnson's home. We're going to meet there about 6:15. I believe sunrise is about 6:30, 2 or 3, something like that. Come off of Highway 7, come up over the hill. It's the first main road to the left. Name of it? Name of the road?
Highway 5.
Highway 5, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And the first main drive to the left.
Okay.
Stubblefield Trail.
All right, so if you come off Highway 5, coming toward church, up over the hill, first main road to the left. Okay. Just go all the way to the end down there, and we'll be down there. So come if you can. You'll enjoy it. I enjoy it very much. All right, right after that, we're going to dismiss to here, and the men are going to prepare breakfast for everyone. And so I encourage you to come. I've been told Brother Leonard does a pretty good job on gravy. And anyway, we'll have breakfast. So come and be part of that. Then we will dismiss from that immediately. following, and about 9 o'clock, we're going to start our morning services. Now, the lineup will be the same as it always is, but we'll start at 9. Sunday school, then 10 for preaching service, and then we'll dismiss for the day. Okay? So if you come at regular 11 o'clock, you'll be late. Really late. Okay? All right. All right, then next Sunday morning as well will be our special offering for Brother Walter. Brother Walter's still battling cancer and going through treatments, and so we have been trying to help him with his medical bills what we can, and so we take up a special offering once a month for Brother Walter. That'll be next Sunday morning. All right, nursery attendance this morning is Sam and Donna Johnson, so if you have need of the nursery, it's right back there, and it will be staffed if needed. And then next Sunday will be Michelle and Holly. Are there any other? Yeah, they've really put him through the stuff this time. This is several times he's been through it, but they're really doubling up on his chemo, and it's really hard. So he does appreciate your prayers most of all. All right. Any other announcements?
Page number 38. Page 38.
Through my disappointments, I
good morning, everybody. Where am I? After all those directions we got this morning trying to get to Sam and Donna's, I've been there the last 2 years and I don't think I can get back. Oh, it's good to have a good time in the house of the Lord. It's good to see everybody out this morning. See a lots of smiling faces. Fred, it's always good to have you. You just have a light about you, is all I can say. We have something kind of special for you this morning. We're actually going to, the choir's going to do two specials this morning. We're entering into the Easter season, and to commemorate that, we have special music this Sunday, and we also are going to have some special music next Sunday. We also have a reading by Miss Donna this morning. And that we're going to enjoy that. So we're going to get started. The first hymn that we're going to do for you this morning is called Gone.
Mary, other side.
We're going to do for you this morning. You know, our Savior rose from out of the tomb on the third day. And that's what makes everything possible that we are as Christians today is the fact that we serve a risen Savior. He is alive today, a very alive and well, and sitting at the right hand of the Father. So we're going to sing for you this next one entitled, On the Third Day.
Yeah.
worship at country churches is the highway of the Easter celebration. And this little story is Easter's to Remember, and it's by Wilma Williams from Los Angeles, California. The Easters of my childhood were nothing like today. They were simple. Growing up in the 50s, my sisters and I could always anticipate a visit from the Easter Bunny. As soon as these holiday goodies arrived in all the stores uptown, our father went shopping. I couldn't wait to rip the bags open and dig out the black jelly beans, the best kind. I finally figured out that we had so many sweets because Dad loved candy, and that was fine with me. Since we didn't eat it every day, those were treats. On the spiritual side, though, the highlights of my Easter was those early sunrise services at Mount Pleasant CME Church in rural Hope, Arkansas. We got up long before daybreak, dressed in our best, piled into the car, and headed off to church. I liked it when this holy day came in late April, as I preferred attending church on a warm, sunny morning when I didn't have to wear a sweater over my dress. The air would be pungent with the sweetness of early spring. Daffodils bloomed up and down the highway, a sure sign that spring had brought Easter with her. Like us believers across the world would attend church before the break of dawn, in keeping with the spirit of Christ's resurrection. When Mary Magdalene and the other women went to the tomb before the rising of the sun, when we gather on Easter morning, we are those women. We are looking for him too as we commemorate the celebration of our risen Savior.
Thank you, Miss Donna. Thank you, choir. Y'all know I love Easter. We've talked about it several times, and next Sunday is Easter. We do celebrate that day as the day that Jesus Christ rose from the grave and is victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and because of what he's done for us, on that day we are also victorious. Never to be separated from God if we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We're going to celebrate Easter next Sunday, but we should celebrate Easter every morning when we get up because we do serve a risen Savior. I love Easter festivities, though, because it kind of helps us focus just a little bit on what Jesus did for us and then when he won the victory there when he rose. We need to thank God for the sacrifice that he made by sending his son. And also to Jesus we give thanks because he was willing to do what we couldn't do. We'll focus more on that next week. This morning, though, we're going to talk about what to me is one of the saddest days in the history of the world. We're going to talk about the death and the burial of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I think often of what Jesus went through before he gave his life there on that cross, as if the cross wasn't enough. He came down off of his lofty throne in heaven, separated himself from his Father, came down here and was born of the Virgin Mary, came unto the Jews and his own people, and they rejected him. They rejected the only begotten Son of God. They didn't receive him as the Messiah. Rejected by the Jews, God's chosen people, Jesus Christ, lived here like we do, tempted like we are, had all the same afflictions that we have, except he didn't sin because his Father was God Almighty. He was betrayed by one that walked with him daily. I mean, think about that one for a second. Jesus in his ministry, his disciples, his chosen 12 that walked with him and shared everything with him, one of those close allies betrayed Jesus, wrongfully accused. We're going to start this morning in the book of Matthew in chapter 26. You can read this account and several others, and we'll mention a little bit there. But we're going to start this morning in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before his betrayal. Jesus Christ knew that his time here on this earth was coming to an end, and he knew the trials and the hardships that faced him, and he went there to talk to God. And I thank God and Jesus Christ that we have the ability to bring our petitions before the Father through Jesus Christ and anything that we deal with today. And let me tell you something, friend. Anything that we deal with today is far less than what he was dealing with at this time. Think about Jesus. In my mind's eye, I can see this whole movie playing out of what he did. We're going to start reading in verse 38, Matthew 26, 38. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And they went a little, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And Luke, we read of the same account in a little more detail. I think of the reading of Luke over there when it said that the sweat from Jesus dripped like great drops of blood when he was praying here. He had went in there with some of his chosen few, and he had left them out there, and he said, Stand watch. He knew what was coming. While I go in and pray, and he went a little further into the garden, and he knelt down there, and he prayed and poured out his heart to God Almighty. You know, sometimes I wonder if we take our prayer seriously enough. Jesus is always our example in everything that we do. And as I look here at Jesus, he knew what was coming, and he earnestly poured out his soul to God. And his desire was that this pass from him, this cup. But he also had the desire to do God's will in everything that he did. So if it's possible, God, let me not have to go through this. Can you imagine the turmoil that he was in? He had never been separated spiritually from God, ever. And he was fixing to be there on the cross. He knew what he was going through. He knew where he was headed. He said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that he did not decide to call the angels and to deliver him. Because without him doing what he did, I would have no hope. Bowed there in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying and agonizing over what he was fixing to go through. I can't even really imagine what it must have felt like there for him. He who had never sinned, he who deserved none of what was fixing to come onto him or what had already passed upon him, he became the propitiation of our sin, or the payment. That's what Jesus did. I know why he suffered for you and I. But I also know that I don't deserve what he did for me. But because of God's grace, he did it anyway. Betrayed, wrongly accused by two false witnesses. And then they spat upon him, and they struck him there at that mock trial. probably not only with their hands, but most likely with some staffs or wooden clubs. They beat him. Then they bound him, and then they took him to Pilate. Early in the morning, bound, he was drugged before Pilate. Now, as I'm thinking about this, I see so many things wrong. They couldn't lawfully hold this, quote, trial of the Jews during the night. They did it anyway. They weren't supposed to strike the prisoner. They did it anyway. They did all this contrary to the laws because they hated Jesus so, the one who had came to die on the cross for them. Why did they take him to Pilate if they hated him so bad? Because they couldn't pronounce a death sentence. It wasn't good enough that they ridiculed him and spat upon him and mocked him. It wasn't good enough that they persecuted him every day. They wanted Jesus dead. Pilate was the only one there that was available to them that could pass the death sentence. So early in the morning, after everything that Jesus had went through, they drug him there and put him in front of Pilate. And the trial was terrible. And Pilate could not find anything wrong. And so, as was their custom there, coming up onto the Passover, they were going to release one of the prisoners. And so Pilate wanted to release Jesus. But I want to skip over to verse 19 of chapter 27. I want to read a little more. This is speaking to Pilate, and when Jesus came in, Pilate, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" Do you hear what Pilate's wife said? She said Jesus was a just man. "For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, 'Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?' And they said, 'Barabbas.' A Pilate saith unto them, 'What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?' They all say unto him, 'Let him be crucified.' And the governor said, 'Why? What evil hath he done?' But they cried out the more, saying, 'Let him be crucified.' When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, 'I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See, you do it.' Then answered all the people and said, 'His blood be upon us and our children.' Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." Now, I want you to think of this. I've spoke about it often, and in my mind, I can see this movie being played out of what went on there. Jesus sitting there and taking all of this because he loved me. Barabbas was an evil individual and deserved to die for the sins that he had committed. Jesus Christ, innocent, wrongly accused, and his own fellow countrymen wanted him killed. And they raised up and they said, "Crucify him." And Pilate said, "Well, he's not done anything wrong. Crucify him anyway." "But I can't find just cause to crucify him." "Crucify him anyway and let this evil Barabbas go. We'd rather have him." Pilate wanted to wash his hands of the whole matter. So in a show, he got up and he washed his hands there. And he said, "His blood is not on my hands, it's on yours." And they said, His blood be upon us, but not only us, our children. And what a thing that these people did. Then, because of the pronouncement, Jesus Christ was scourged. And it's a little word, and it don't take us long to say it, but I want you to think of what Jesus went through. This whip was applied to him. He was stripped of his clothes, and he was beaten, and his body was torn, and the flesh literally hung off of his body, and blood flowed from the open wounds. He didn't deserve anything. That should have been me. But Jesus did it for me because I couldn't do it for myself. Standing there, he had the power to deliver himself. He had the power to punish everyone here on this earth the way that we really deserve. But he loved us enough to take what we had coming upon himself. This scourging went on for some time. Jesus literally was beaten nearly to death. I think, and when I think of this, I don't think that a mere man like you and I could probably take in what Jesus took and lived to see the cross. But Jesus did because he had a destiny and he had a purpose, and that he had to be hung between heaven and earth, a sacrifice for us. They beat him. They beat him. And they beat him some more. They beat him so bad that when they were done with him and they jammed that crown of thorns down on his head, and the blood was literally drenching the place that he stood. They forced him to carry his own cross. He drugged the cross. Can you see Jesus with that old cross, part of it supported by his body, and the long end of it dragging down the streets? And as he struggles to get to Golgotha's hill, he had a destiny. He was determined. He was dedicated to the purpose of God, dragging that cross. You could literally trail him by the blood that fell from his broken and battered and tattered body. He was so weak that they had to get someone to help him tote the cross up there. That's what Jesus did. Barabbas went free. Jesus did not. You know, generally they just tied people to the cross, but not Jesus. They laid that old cross down on the ground. They placed him on it and they spread his hands. And they took those spikes and they drove them through the palm of his hands. Now, I don't know about you, but many years ago, I had some surgery done right there in the palm of my hand. And I've never felt anything that hurt as bad as when they stuck that needle, a little needle. You see, there's so many nerves that go right through here so that we can feel, so that we can function. Your hands are some of the most sensitive parts of your body. And that needle that went in there nearly made me cry out in pain. Can you imagine having a spike driven through your hands as you lay there? And then the other hand, and then his feet. That old hole, I've dug so many post holes in my life, and I know what that sounded like when they lifted that old cross up. They had the hole dug and the cross was laid there, and Jesus was on it and bleeding and painful. And they picked that old cross up, and when they dropped it in that hole, when it hit the bottom of that hole and jarred him, those spikes ripping into his flesh once again. And Jesus, the hanging there on that cross for me. Jesus could have focused on himself, but guess what? He didn't. He was focused on us and the thieves. He took time out of all of that to talk to the thief that accepted him. He said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." What Jesus did for me, I do not deserve. Thank you, God. You know, this old world that we live in ridicules Christians because of what we believe. We're talked down about, and we're told that we're haters and bigots and all kinds of things because we stand firm on the teaching from God's Word that there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He was hanging on that cross for me and you. Verse 46 in chapter 27. At about the ninth hour, and Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You know, I think that's probably the hardest thing that Jesus had to do out of all of this. Because when Jesus gave up the ghost and he who knew no sin became sin, God Almighty cannot look on sin because he's a righteous God, and he had to turn his back on his Son. And Jesus bore the sins of the world hanging between heaven and earth all by himself. Skip down to verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. You know, we see everything that went on, and we have the account in God's Word. And, we killed him. We killed Jesus. No. Jesus gave himself a sacrifice. Yes, he died for my sins. Yes, in essence, I killed Jesus. I am the one that made it necessary. But you see, Jesus had to give up the ghost. He yielded it. He did it of his own free will, and he did it for me. Look at verse 51. Such a beautiful picture. When you go back and you read about the temple and everything that they went through, I thank God that we live under the time of grace. I want you to know something, friend. You don't need me to pray for you. You have a direct line to God through Jesus Christ. And here's how I know that. Look here. And behold, in verse 51, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. You see, back in the Old Testament times and under Judaism, the high priest had to go into the inner Holy of Holies once a year and offer sacrifice for the sins of the nation. You remember from reading back in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all those Old Testament books that if he went in unpurified, he was killed. And so they would tie a rope on his foot when he went in, in case he died while he was in there, because they couldn't go and get him. I've literally thought about getting a lot of lengths of rope and tying them on everybody's foot that comes through that door back there and let you wear them while we're in here to remind us how holy this place is and how we're supposed to prepare ourselves to worship God when we come. But that veil was torn. And Jesus Christ, when he was raised from the dead, went to be on the right hand of the Father where he sits now. And he's our intercessor. And we have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. Look, that veil was torn from the top to the bottom. And we now can talk to God directly through Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Ever wonder about the power of this time? Look in verse 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies. You see this? Many bodies of the saints which slept rose. We're going to talk about that some more next week. But the power of what happened when Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins there on the cross. Do we really understand it? Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. I'm proud to stand here before you and tell you this morning that Jesus gave himself on that cross, and they took him down, and they placed him in a borrowed tomb or a grave that was hollowed out in a rock, and they rolled a big stone up in front of it, and they sealed it, and they placed a guard to keep him in. But death couldn't keep him. Hell couldn't claim him. He rose. He rose from the dead. Next Sunday is our Easter service, and as we gather next Sunday morning over at the Johnson's house, I want you to come prepared for the rising of the sun, because when those Marys came down there to see him and to anoint the body, he was gone. But he's coming back. Because he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, today we talk about what Jesus has done, the sacrifice that he made. But I also want to talk about the promise that he made. He said he was going to rise in 3 days. And he said that he was going to come back and get us. And I hear people say all the time anymore, well, it's been some 2,000 years ago and Jesus hadn't come back. How do you know he's coming back? Because he told me he's coming. When God's ready, it could be soon. You see, Jesus died for all of us. He promised to come back. And here's what I want you to know this morning, that he did not die in vain. He sent the Holy Spirit here. He gave us the completed Word of God, so that we could know what he had for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. The Spirit draws us to an understanding that we must accept Jesus Christ or spend eternity in hell. And you see, the world would have us say, well, there's many paths to God. I submit to you this morning, there is only one. John 14:6, I love that scripture. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross. And because of what he did for us on the cross, and because that he was raised the third day, this old body's going in the ground if Jesus don't come back first. But it's not staying there. One of these days the trump's going to sound and those graves are going to burst open, and those of us that are remain here at that time are going to meet those who went on before us in the air, and we're getting a glorified, sinless, everlasting body. Praise the Lord. Listen to me, friend, this morning. I implore you, if you hear this sermon, whether you're here or you hear it on the website or wherever you hear it, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. All you have to do is accept it. Say, Jesus, save me. I give my soul to you. I place my soul in your care. Salvation is an emotional experience without a doubt. I can remember it like it was yesterday. But don't kid yourself. It's more than just an emotion. It's a decision, a conscious decision that you must make to accept what Jesus did on the cross. My prayer is that each and every one of you that are here this morning knows Jesus as your personal Savior. But if you don't, the Spirit will draw you to the understanding that you need to accept Jesus before it's too late. Is the Spirit dealing with you this morning? Is He drawing you? Well, preacher, I feel the draw, but I'm a little bit nervous about stepping out in that aisle and coming down there and talking to you. I want to tell you something, friend. I as well was nervous whenever I walked that aisle. But I can see it just like it was yesterday, and I stepped right out back there, and I remember the first step, and I don't remember the journey from there because Jesus took me there. All you have to do is take the first step. That's it. He did the rest of it for you. He's already done it. I can't say how much I appreciate what God has done for me. If you're not saved this morning, would you please listen to the Spirit as He calls before it's eternally too late? I submit to you this morning that one of these days, God's going to turn to Jesus and say, "Son, it's time. Go bring my children home." And He's coming back. Choose wisely this morning. Well, preacher, I want to wait to a better time. There is no better time than today. Choose wisely. It may be the last chance you get. Maybe the Spirit's drawing you in some other way that I don't know, but you do. All we have to do is follow the Spirit's guidance. He will not lead you astray. He will only lead you to what God would have you do. Step out in faith. Step out in faith. I can't wait till next Sunday morning I get to preach about Jesus coming forth. But before then, I want you to know He is risen. He lives. He's alive and well today. And He's making petition for you to God. I want to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. I'll ask you to stand with me, please, for a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you at this time, Lord, we're so thankful for the sacrifice that you made. And Lord, as I know salvation is free to us. It's a gift of God, but I know the price that you paid was greater than we can even imagine. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to do for me what I couldn't do for myself. Thank you for sending the Spirit to draw us. Lord, I pray at this time that the Spirit would convict souls to follow your will in their life, whatever it may be. Your will be done this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Page 300.
Once from my poor sin sick soul, Christ did every burden roll. Now I walk redeemed and whole,
hand in hand with Jesus. That's what God has always intended for us to walk hand in hand with Jesus. We don't have to face any of this on our own. I was talking to my friend the other day, the one that's been diagnosed with cancer, and cancer touches everybody, someone you know. And we were just talking, you know, when you get that bad diagnosis, how do you handle it? Well, if you're walking hand in hand with Jesus, you know it's just a bump along the way. If you're not walking hand in hand with Jesus, it's devastating. Yeah, I told him, I said, you know, it took me a day or two after I was diagnosed with cancer to get past the initial shock, but I knew that God would see me through or care for me no matter what happened. When you walk hand in hand with Jesus, whatever happens, this life is just the journey we're on. Makes us who we are. I thank Jesus for what he did for us, because you know what? Y'all might think I'm crazy, but I believe that God has the power to heal you of any illness you have. But I also believe that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are healed from the penalty of sin, period. Amen. This life is just a journey. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing one more verse. What is the Lord leading you to this morning? To step out in faith. That's all that's required of us. He'll do the rest.
In my night of dark despair, Jesus heard and answered prayer. Now
I'm glad you're here this morning. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. A little nippy outside, but that's okay. The flowers are blooming. The dogwoods are blooming. It's a gorgeous day. I encourage you to come to Sunrise Service next Sunday morning. You'll miss a blessing if you don't. And then services start again here at 9 o'clock after breakfast. So sign up back there, please, if you're coming for breakfast, so we'll know how many eggs to get. And thank you to our visitors for coming. We're really glad you're here. Come back and see us any opportunity you can.